We're continuing about the path today, but before we do that, North Campus, would you help me welcome all of the campuses that are joining with us today? I want to just say happy Mother's Day to you, first of all. We're glad you're there today. We're excited about what God is doing at Every Love and Truth Church. In fact, this year we've been talking about everything matters. That's the theme for the year. And so I just want to encourage you, every aspect of your life, every spiritual part of your life, every natural, it matters. And so let's really just make sure we understand that. My name is Eddie Couples. I'm the lead pastor for Love and Truth Ministries. And I'm excited today to be ready to share with you the word of the Lord. If you want to take your Bibles today and go to the book of 1 Kings, we've been in 1 Kings now the past 3 weeks, and we're going to kind of wrap this series up today as we're looking at this whole aspect of the path. We've been talking about how that in each and every one of our lives, that there is a distinct path that we're called to. There's something that you are on, and each and every one of us are called to walk that distinct journey of our lives. And so as we have been looking at this, we've been seeing what the Word of God says to us. And each week we've been seeing how that the life of Elijah went from one place to the next, and how that in each and every place that Elijah went to, that there was something special that God was doing. And so we talked about the first week how that the first place that God took Elijah to was a place called covenant, a place of agreement, coming into agreement with God. The next place that God took him to was a place called Zarephath, which was a place of refining, and how that in our lives God is going to refine us and to get us to where he wants us to be. And then last week we talked about moving on up. I talked about moving up, okay? We talked about the whole process of God taking us, the Bible says, from glory to glory in that place of promotion of how we get there. And today, we're going to be looking at 1 Kings, the 18th chapter. In fact, let me just read it to you. 1 Kings 18, verse 41 and 42 says this. Now, let me just set it up for those of you who weren't here last week. Elijah has this encounter after he tells the king, it's not going to rain until I say it's going to rain. 3 years come to pass, and then Elijah shows back up and tells the king, look, it's going to rain, but before it rains, you're going to have to determine who is God. And they have this whole thing with the god of Baal, and they're worshiping Baal and all these things that are going on there, and Baal doesn't answer at any level. And then Elijah's God answers with fire, and we talked about all that last week. And so that's where the story picks up today in verse 41. It says, and Elijah said to Ahab, go eat and drink, for there is the sound of a heavy rain. So Ahab, who's the king, went off to eat and drink, but Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, bent down to the ground, and put his face between his knees. Now remember, in this whole process we've been looking at, it where God's taking your journey on a path, that God takes you from place to place, and each of those places are distinct, and God's doing something special in that moment. And so we've been looking at where God took Elijah, and from there we're seeing today that God now takes Elijah to a place called Carmel. Well, guess what? Carmel means something. Here's what it means. It means fruitfulness. It means a place of a fruitful ground. In other words, here's what we're going to talk about today. Today's going to be in the sense, and understand how I say this, there'll be practical aspects anytime I preach, but today's going to be more of a spiritual turn to this whole series, okay? We're going to kind of dig down of what we have to do spiritually today to reap what it is that God has for us. So we're going to be looking at divine provision. Now, let me say this to you. Abundance, everybody says, I want abundance. Well, let me tell you about abundance. Abundance is temporary. All right, just write it down if you're taking notes. Abundance is temporary. You say, what do you mean? Okay, if I walk up to you today and give you $1,000, that you'd be happy, wouldn't you? And those of you that don't nod, you're just weird. Okay? You say, well, I'd be happier if you gave me $10,000. Okay, I'll give you $10,000. Right? Now you got to, that's abundance in that moment. But how many of you know that before you get home, you can probably spend every bit of it? Right? And all of a sudden, that abundance that you had over here has now gone away. It's a temporary thing. And that's kind of like living in the place that the children of Israel did for 40 years. Every morning they'd get up and abundance would come, okay? They would get manna every day, and that manna, but it only lasted for a day. It only lasted for a short while. Here's what I want to say to us as believers, as Christians. God doesn't want you to dwell in a place of abundance. You say, Pastor, I thought that's where God wanted me to get to. No, God wants to get you to a place of divine provision. God wants to get you to where you're living out. And here's the difference. Carmel means fruitfulness, and fruitfulness is sustainable. Fruitfulness will keep you going. You'll bear fruit in this season, but guess what? You're going to bear fruit in the next season and in the next, and you're going to be able to sustain it in your life. And I don't know about you. Here's what I want to do. I want to get to the place where God moves me from miracles to provision. That makes sense? I've told some of you this before, but let me just repeat it because it's so necessary in this sermon. I remember a few years ago, I was sitting in a service, and this guy was preaching, and he was talking about all the miracles that God had done in the past year or two in his life, and they were spectacular. I mean, they were just mind-boggling miracles that had happened in this guy's life. And the more he preached, the more convicted I felt. Anybody ever been there? Anybody ever been in one of those services where you got convicted? So I hope some of you do today. Okay? And I thought, man. And over the next couple of weeks or so, I was praying. I said, God, well, you know, I don't know why I'm not seeing miracles. Lord, I need miracles. I want to see a miracle. I was going through all this stuff. You know how we do. We pray because we heard a sermon. We pray about it. And so I'm praying about it. And one day, and I won't say God spoke to me, but there was this moment where I just sensed the Lord saying, Would you stop asking me for something you don't need? And I just stopped and I thought, well, what does he mean by that? And I began to look at Sherry and our life, and I began to realize that we had not needed a miracle in several years. That we literally had been walking, some of you are giving me that look, we had literally been walking in divine provision. That every time something was needed, even before we asked for it, it was already being provided. And I want to tell you, and I don't want to mess your world up, it is a whole lot more fun to live in divine provision than it is to live from miracle to miracle. Because living from miracle to miracle, you are always not sure if it's going to show up. But if you are in divine provision, you know that you're in a place of fruitfulness and that you're on this path. And now it's kind of like, man, God's going to do it. It's going to happen. All I've got to do is ask. And when I ask, I'm going to receive. And it's going to come to pass in my life. And I want to say this to you. If you have never been there, I hope today's sermon can just kind of push you a little bit and get you to that place where you live in a place of divine provision in your life. Now let's look at the lessons that are here. Verse 41 says, Elijah said to Ahab, he said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go eat and drink. Now look what it says. Look at that verse. It says, for there is the sound of a, do you see that next word? Heavy, a sound of a heavy rain. He didn't say, hey, I think it's going to rain. Now how many of you know at this point, it hasn't rained for 3 years? Okay, do I need to tell you the story again? For 3 years, it hasn't rained. It's not raining when he said this, but in that moment, he said to Ahab, he says to the king, he says to the guy who hates his guts, right? If you don't believe that, just hang around and read some more. I don't have time to preach about it next week. But if you keep reading, you'll find out that his wife, the king's wife, decides she's going to kill the prophet here, okay? So they don't like him. But he shows up and he said, it's going to rain. And he says, it's going to be heavy rain. Here's the first thing that's got to happen for you to live in divine provision. And that is you've got to live with expectation. You've got to believe that something's going to happen. You've got to be at that place where you say, I'm just getting up today waiting for that next thing God's going to do. Come on, anybody there? I'm just waiting for the next move of God. I'm just waiting for what God is going to do in my life today. See, when God spoke, Elijah heard rain. okay? In the first verse of the chapter there, it says that after a long time, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, it says after a long time, in the third year, the word of the Lord came to Elijah, and it said, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the land. He got that word from God, and when he had that word from God, he said, it's getting ready to rain. It's getting ready to rain. See, here's the deal. God answers my prayer and your prayers when we obey his instructions. When I do what it is that he tells me to do, then he is going to come forth on my behalf. The Bible says God is not man that he can lie. Right? And so if he is not man that he can lie, guess what? If he tells you something, You just got to get ready to receive it. You just got to come to that place and say, it's mine. I am going to receive it. Now, let me help some of you, because some of us have moved away from where God told us to be, and because of that, we're not seeing the miracle that God wants to bring in our life, the provision that God wants to bring in our life at this time. Here's what you've got to understand. You can only expect provision when you are at your place of assignment. All right? It's kind of like God says, I'm going to show up over here. I told you to be at so-and-so place, and God shows up there to give you your provision, and you're not there. And God goes, where are you? Now, I know what you're thinking. Well, God knows everything. I know he does. I got it. But he also told you to do a certain thing. How many of you know that if Elijah had moved away from where it was that God wanted him to be, that he would never have fulfilled the destiny that God had for his life? All right? So we've got to come to that place of understanding that in that moment, that I've got to stay at my place of assignment. Where is it that God has assigned me to be? And when I am in my place of assignment is where I can find my provision. The 42nd and 43rd verse goes on to say, so Ahab went off to eat and drink, and you'll find that that's what he did a lot, right? But Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel, and the word of God says he bent down to the ground, and he put his face between his knees, okay? So what is he doing? He's praying, okay? So we're going to talk about the power of prayer for a few minutes. Let me say something to you. Just because God says something's going to happen in your life doesn't mean you just lay back and wait for it. All right? God has said to Elijah, hey, Elijah, this is what's going to happen, but Elijah had to pray about it. Elijah had to go after it. In fact, the Word of God goes on to say there, it says that as he is praying, as he's seeking God, the Scripture says that he looks to his servant who's with him, and he says, hey, I want you to go out there and look and just see if anything's happening out there, okay? And so the power of prayer is something that you need to understand. I'm going to talk to you, if you're a believer today, hear what I'm saying. There is so much that you can do by yourself. Okay? There are natural things. You are created in the image and in the likeness of God, and so because of that, there are a lot of things that you can do. But I am telling you, if you want to live in a place of divine provision entirely in your life, you have got to come to that place of understanding that some things do not come except, Scripture says, by prayer and fasting. Oh, man, I didn't shout on that, did we? Especially that fasting part. Okay? But what we've got to do is we've got to know that there is a power that is released through prayer. Now, let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer is a sign of humility. Okay? When you pray, it's a sign of humility. It's saying, I need someone who is bigger than I am to show up on my behalf. Now, can I say this to you? You ready? If you don't pray much, do you want to fill in the rest of that? Okay? The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble, to those who know they need help, to those who understand they need God to show up. And that's what prayer is about. Every time I pray, it's not so that I can get some kind of merit badge. It is so that I can let God know how much I need him to show up in my life. And here's what's wonderful. Humility opens the door to provision. The Bible says God resists the proud, but he gives grace, that unmerited favor, he gives grace to those who walk in humility, okay? So if you and I, if we don't pray, it's because we believe that we don't have any lack in our life. We look at our life and go, I got everything I need. We're kind of like the church at Laodicea that said, we're rich and we're increased and we're wonderful and we don't need anything. And God said, if you only knew how bad off you really were, right? What we've got to do is come to that place of understanding that even though God has spoken, he is waiting on us to move in to what it is that he has for us. The Word of God gives us a way that we do this, okay? And I want to show you something scripturally today that can help you in your prayer. The book of Mark, the 11th chapter and the 24th verse, is a familiar passage, but let me take a moment with it. Jesus says this, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours, right? Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, let me ask you a question. When do you believe? I'll let it sit for a moment. Well, Pastor, I believe when I see it come. That's not what the scripture says. Elijah doesn't wait until there's rain to declare rain is coming. Elijah got a rhema word from God that said, I'm going to send rain. Elijah shows up and looks at the king and says, he added to what God said. He said, I hear the sound of heavy rain. Most of us would say, Lord, could we just have a sprinkling so I can say it's going to rain? Lord, could I just see some thunder and lightning? Then I'll tell people it's going to rain. The scripture says that you are to believe when you pray. The reason, come on, let's dig for a minute. The reason that we don't receive a lot of times is because we don't believe a lot of times. Hebrews 11 talks about, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's that inside of us that we know that we know. All right? And let me say this to you. When you're in this moment of prayer and when you're believing God for something, you need to be specific about what it is you're believing God for. I guarantee you, Elijah's not up there saying, now, Lord, I want you to bless my kids today, and I want you to bless. You know, what do you think Elijah's praying about? Rain. Come on, Elijah's praying about rain, isn't he? He's saying, God, we need some rain. I've told people it's going to rain. My life is on the line. Lord, we need rain. He is specific about what he's praying about. See, I've told you for years, there are thousands of promises in the Bible. Okay? When you just say, Lord, I want a blessing, God just looks back at you and says, which one? Which blessing do you want? You want a blessing of spirit? Okay. You want blessing of health? You want a blessing financially? Do you want? No, he's waiting on you. You say, God knows my heart. Well, then why pray? Why pray? We pray because he tells us to pray. And he tells us how to pray. He says, be specific. Pray this day, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And then he said, and pray, give us this day our daily bread. Here's what I need today, God, for you to do in my life. This is accessing the kingdom keys that God has given me in my life. And then I wait for God's timing. And when I do that, I begin to see God's provision show up time and time and time again. Now, listen, let's be quick with this. The next latter part of verse 33 and verse 44 talks about that the servant comes back after Elijah sent him out. The servant comes back and he says, there's nothing out there. Okay, there's nothing in the sky. And so the Bible says this happened seven distinct times. Seven times he sends the servant back and says, what's out there? And the servant shows back up and says, there is nothing. All right? What does Elijah do on the third time? Come on, it's not a trick question. He prays, right? He prays. He said, nothing there. Pray. Guess what he does on the fourth time? Prays. Guess what he does on the fifth time? Prays. Guess what he does on the sixth time? Guess what he does on the seventh time? No, he doesn't. Just seeing if you're listening. On the seventh time, the guy came back and said, I see a cloud the size of a man's hand. And Elijah says, let's get out of here because rain is coming. Amen. All right? Here's the deal. Persistence produces in your life. The reason that we don't walk in divine provision on this path that we are on in our life is because we give up too quickly. Man, I prayed about it once. Well, pray about it again. Well, I prayed about it for a month. Well, pray about it for 2 months. Some things don't come in the first month. Do you know that I am praying for things now that I'm like on my 12th or 15th year that I believe God spoke to me and that God said was going to happen, some things in my life and in the ministry that was going to take place, and I have not seen it yet, but I am not stopping praying. I pray about it almost every day and say, God, you spoke, I believe, and I'm going to continue to pray. Why? Because I am waiting for it to come. I don't know when it's going to come, but I know that if I quit praying, the Bible says it this way. It says, don't be weary in well-doing, for in good season you'll reap if you faint not. It's going to happen in your life. See, here's what happens. Persistence changes the atmosphere. Okay? You got a bad marriage? Don't raise your hand. Persistence can change the atmosphere. You got one of those jobs that you walk in and go, man, I know I'm not going to hell because I have lived it. Persistence can change the atmosphere. Why? Because there is power in your life. Daniel prayed, and the Bible says the first day God sent the answer. But he doesn't get it for 21 days. The Israelites prayed for 430 years for deliverance. None of you have been praying that long. There's nobody listening to me today. There's nobody that will ever listen to me that has prayed that long. And yet, it took 430 years for the answer to come. Persistence changes the atmosphere. Persistence produces the dream in your life. It is that thing that you've been hoping for and believing for that if you just keep praying, you keep doing what you're supposed to do, you keep studying, you keep going after it, in that moment, God can bring it to pass in your life. Elijah didn't say, I mean, what would have happened if at 6 he said, I'm out? Guess what? It wasn't going to rain until he did what he was supposed to do. Persistence unleashes power, okay? Jesus told the disciples there at the Mount of the Mount of Ascension, the scripture says that Jesus said, go and wait in Jerusalem until you are endued with power. They went back and they prayed one day, and guess what? Nothing happened. They prayed 2, they prayed 5, they prayed 8. It took 10 days. And listen to what Acts says. After 10 days, Acts says, and suddenly, I guarantee you, if you've been locked in the room with 120 people for 10 days, you would not be saying suddenly. Right? And suddenly a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind filled the house. I mean, it goes through this whole, and say, why? They waited. They kept persevering until the power came in. See, here, let me say this to you. You have no right to anything you haven't pursued. If you haven't gone after it, you don't have a right to it. Come on, think about when you were wanting to get married to him or her. I know some of you got to go way back. You pursued him. You did everything you could. And then you got him. Uh-oh, let's not go there. And that'll be one of those other sermons, okay? All right? Now, here's what happens when you do that, when you are persistent, when you do what it is that you're supposed to do. 1 Kings 18, let me just read it to you so that we can see it. 1 Kings verse 44 says, "The seventh time the servant reported, a cloud as small as a man's hand is rising from the sea. So Elijah said, 'Go and tell Ahab, hitch up.'" I love that. He's a southerner. "Hitch up your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Meanwhile, look at verse 45. "Meanwhile, the sky grew black with clouds, the winds rose, a heavy rain started falling, and Ahab rode off to Jezreel." Verse 46, "The power of the Lord came on Elijah, and tucking his cloak into his belt, he ran ahead of Ahab all the way to Jezreel." He outran chariot and horses. Now that's when you know it's going to rain. When you outrun a horse, you believe rain's coming. Come on, all right? See, here's what happens. When you do these things, then provision comes into your life. See, when I started this, some of you were waiting for three easy steps. And what I've given you is some things you're going to have to do, and it's going to cost you something. Now, here's where I'm at with that. Am I willing just to settle for lack and the same old life that I've been living, or am I willing to do what I need to do to receive what God has for my life? You say, "Pastor, you know what? I heard all my life salvation is free." It is. I'm not talking about salvation. Jesus paid the price. I don't have a bit of problem with that. But let me tell you something. Once you get saved, whatever level of anointing you want to walk in will cost you. A lot of people are happy just with what I call fire insurance. Right? I'm saved, I'm going to heaven. Not going to hell, my fire insurance is paid up. Now my life's going to be a mess. I'm going to be busted, disgusted, and messed up. All right? I'm just going to live life. I'm going to drag in every week and say, "Man, I hope the worship team's got something good today. Because I'm just dragging." Why would I? Just a thought. What would happen if instead of dragging into church, that the people of God would come in with the power of God already flowing through our lives before we got to church? Just a thought. "Man, Pastor, I need a word. You got anything good today?" "Nah, it's lousy. It's horrible. I spent all week long just seeing how bad I could make it. I prepared months ago to just make it horrible today." Right? I mean, what would happen if we said, "I'm not going to live from miracle to miracle. I'm not going to live on the other side of my promise." See, for 40 years, the children of Israel are living on the other side of their promise. Their promise is a land flowing with milk and honey. Or as I said one Sunday, milk and honeys. Rest of you will get that. And I had to stop the whole sermon and laugh when I said that, okay? Maybe it was, I don't know. Don't be so spiritual right now, it'll be okay, all right? But they're on this side living from miracle to miracle, manna by day, fire by night, cloud by day. "Oh, I gotta have it, God's gonna make my clothes." I mean, come on. Can you imagine wearing the same clothes for 40 years? Come on, ladies, work with me. I mean, look at this shirt I'm wearing today. Can you imagine me wearing this for 40 years? I mean, it's one thing, you know, throw it on once every 6 months. I get brave enough to wear it. Every day. Somebody told me today, he said, "You know what happened when Joseph got one of those, don't you?" I said, "Yeah, I'm a little nervous right now, okay?" All right. 40 years, the same shoes. Can you imagine what those shoes smell like? No, come on, work with me. You got, you know, we make everything so spiritual. So living from, here's the deal. I'll be biblical in this. Miracles will get to stinking after a while. Don't believe that. Read about, they got manna and they got 2 days worth of manna. Guess what happened? The Bible says the next day they got up and the miracle from the day before was stinking and full of worms. And a lot of us, we're always praying, God, I want a miracle, I want a miracle, I want a miracle. And God says, great, I can give you a miracle, or I can help you to grow up and learn to live in provision. And that's where I want to get. That's where I want you to be in your life, is in the place of provision. See, when divine provision happens, you can't stay where you were. You won't live there. You won't live with that poverty mentality. You won't live with that, I'm never going to have. No, once you get in provision, things begin to happen. When provision shows up, the atmosphere changes. I mean, think about this. But before Jesus Christ showed up, for thousands of years, they had been going through a temple ritual and all the stuff. And Jesus shows up and he dies on the cross, the Bible says. And he says, when he cried out, "It is finished," the atmosphere changed. When he said, "It is finished," the Bible says, the veil in the temple was rent from top to bottom, signifying that man now had access to God. Where they had been kept away from God for thousands of years, now, because what Jesus did, because of his persistence and willingness to say, "I'll go to the cross," he changed all of the atmosphere. The reason that you and I can enter into salvation today is because Jesus persevered and brought divine provision of salvation for all of us. And so all I've got to do today is say, "Lord, come into my life, forgive me of my sins," and the atmosphere has already changed. And I can receive his free gift into my life. And lastly, the supernatural shows up. And that's what salvation's all about. It's about God doing in you something you can't do for yourself. But here's the great news. That's not just something for one time and then one day when we get to the sweet by and get to heaven. The word salvation, listen to me, I'm done. The word salvation in the New Testament is the word sozo in the Greek, S-O-Z-O. And what sozo means, when you go home and look it up, or those of you who are Googling it as I speak, what sozo means is that every part of your being is saved. That it's not just a spiritual happening, but it genuinely is spirit, soul, and body. That God shows up and he changes the atmosphere, and now you and I can walk in to everything that we have need of. The Bible says it this way, and we're done. "Beloved, I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in health, even," watch what it says, "as your soul prospers." When my soul, your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions. When my mind, my will, and my emotions come into alignment with what God has said, God says, "I'll bring divine provision into your life and change you." And that's what we need. When the church begins to operate the way God wants us to operate, we will turn the world upside down. Because that's what they're looking for. They're not looking for religion, and they're not looking for another church. They're looking for a relationship with a God that can change their world. And that's what divine provision is all about. Amen.